Thank you, Mike. Thank you very much. And, the best class, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, the context of it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. All the glory belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's His. And we as members of the Church of the One Body are going to share everything the Lord has according to His precious, wonderful promises. Okay, iskus is human being strength. And I'll try to pronounce it the way it's really pronounced with you see that looks like an X over there? You would say iskus. A real strong K, sort of, is kus. But you don't have to pronounce it that way. Pronounce it any way you want, as long as you know that it's in the text, because that's the Word of God. That's the original word. And is kus, which means human being strength. God's strength is dunamis, as you all probably have already heard and know. And that dunamis strength is mostly defined, I would say, in the power of the resurrection. I don't know anything about it because it's the Lord that does it. And He does it well. Dunamis, it's His power. Philippians 4:1. Kappa is kurios. Kurios is the original word for master, supreme in authority, Ephesians 6:9. And anybody who wants to read it, volunteers are appreciated. I don't care if you do it 3 or 4 times in a row. We need somebody to read it. I have difficulty, especially this time of night, reading. So I would be glad to do it. Go.
And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven. Neither is there respect of persons with him.
Okay. Master is a word there, and it's found in Ephesians 6:9. And it's also Lord. The next one is Lambda, Kappa Lambda. And that Lambda is found in the word Logos. A lot of people say Logos, but it's not spelled L Omicron, Gamma Omicron, Sigma. It is spelled L Omicron, Gamma Omicron, Sigma. And you pronounce the word as you pronounce the letter. Omicron, Logos. If you're comfortable with Logos, go for it. It's fine. But the way it's supposed to be, it's Logos. It means Word, Christ, God, John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. And you know that scripture very, very well, I am sure. The next letter is Mu. The example word here is metaskematise. And it means transform. And to say it faster, if you want, if as you get better, you would say metaskematison or metaskematise, transform. Philippians 3:21, who wants to tackle that one? 3:21. Go for it. It's a beautiful word.
We shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself.
Okay. Meta skematise. Transform. Change. Or transform. Not vile body, but this body of humiliation, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. What's happening there, and the Lord is showing us and teaching us that this body of flesh, which is really dust and ashes, will be just like this, like his body, that is glorified, and it will be able to fly. Don't you believe that? Of course you do. I know you do. Because he flew out of here when he left.
How many letters are there in the Greek alphabet?
24. Page 9. We'll go to the letter in English, N, but it's nu. Nu. Lambda, mu, nu, N. And this Greek word is neon, which means new man. Colossians 3:10. Go, anyone. We'll follow the same pattern. If you've got it and you can see it in your Bible, read it. Amen. The new man, see, and have put on the new man. Amen. I could say a lot more about that, but I want to go through this because a lot of us are getting tired. We come to the Xi. It's called, it's pronounced like an X. And in this particular scripture, I just used the book of Acts at 5:30. Somebody go there. It is, this word is xulon, which means a stake or a tree used for crucifixion as a crucifixion instrument. And that's where the Lord was crucified, on a stake or a pole or a tree. Not on a cross, like the traditional cross. No such a thing. That was invented by a man by the name of Constantine in honor of his wife, Helena, who was a worshiper of Tammuz, who was a false god.
That's this, what the Jehovah's Witnesses say, that it's a stake.
It, well, that's what the Word of God says, too.
Yeah.
And that's what counts. Yeah.
I didn't know that they were right.
Well,
that's
fine, but that's fine. And if they agree, if they agreed on the rest of it, it would be just wonderful.
Right.
And
excuse me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, can I ask a question about that?
Sure. Go ahead.
Okay, if it now, just was it placed in a cross pattern?
You mean in a T? No.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, really? Okay.
Absolutely not.
So he was, you believe he was crucified on a pole.
That's what the Word of God says.
Okay, so so he didn't carry, I don't believe he carried a cross. He carried a single beam.
He carried a beam, yeah.
Okay, and you believe that he just was crucified on that beam, okay?
He was nailed to there.
All right.
Not only was he nailed there, but all of the ordinances and commandments and law was all nailed there too.
Okay.
And we were nailed there too, my friend. And we were buried there with him too. And we were raised with him too.
Amen.
Put that in the record. It's beautiful. And that's where we are. And we will be like him. And
the passage, Acts 5:30. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom he slew and hanged on a tree.
Amen.
Call it a tree.
The word proves it, right? Yeah. Tree, it's, yeah. It's wood. Gallows in the book of Esther.
Huh.
Yeah. Okay, the next one is in English, it's P. And in Greek, it's also P.
You missed
one. Oh, I did? Okay, the Omicron. Thank you. Omicron. Anamati, giving thanks to the Lord. Colossians 3:17. Well, they're getting better and better. Go, anybody. 3:17. Anybody.
And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him.
See how nice that word displays in there? Anamati, giving thanks is what it means to the Lord. Colossians 3:17. Wonderful to find these words in the English.
It's interesting to see that the alphabet letters stand for something, for ideas.
Whose alphabet letter?
The Greek.
Oh, he's just using words.
Oh.
Oh, words. I thought
that begin with the letter.
Oh, they're
examples. Yeah,
examples. Examples of the
Okay, thank
you. Yeah. Letters. Yeah.
Isn't that the letter stands for anything?
Yeah.
No.
Thank you, Bob. Appreciate it. The next letter is you say it ro, but it's the Greek like p as in pleroma.
We didn't get that one before, did we?
No, pleroma. We skipped. We went back up to Omicron. P as in green pea. Yeah, just like the English, but it's pronounced the same, and there's an accent over the eta in pleroma, and it's pronounced pleroma, which means fullness in Ephesians 1:23, Colossians 3:19, and many other places in different inflectional forms. There's pleromatos, which means filling or filled. There's past tense, and there's different inflectional forms there, see? And that's what makes the word sound different. Like you said a while ago, appear, and in our theme, that's not appearing epiphania, it's phanero. See, phanero, that's for appear, but in the text, it says... I'm going to get that later.
When you're talking about inflectional forms.
Yeah, I'm talking about the lexical forms.
Does that mean the accent that you put on the word?
Everything complete. Everything the way the Lord wants it in the text.
Now, could you have the same word with different inflections?
Same word. Yeah, same stem. Same stem, yeah. Yeah.
But suffixes and prefixes.
And you have to include the suffixes and prefixes and accents and breathing marks. That's a
bunch of things.
And you know, that's nothing. There's a science to it. We're simplifying it so that we can understand what God has done in this, our administration. I'm talking about our administration. I'm talking as a member of the church. The church.
The body.
See, the church of the one body. That's right. That's what I'm talking about. And that's what we... in the church of the one body, should always be anxious to share and admit. And you can't put anybody in the church. The Lord puts people in there.
Yeah.
The Lord does it. We can't do a thing about it except pray to the Lord and ask Him, Lord, do you want more? And or if you don't want more, don't bring her more. You know, that's up to the member. And I'll tell you, to gain the prize of a high calling, and I learned this just recently when we went to Peru, I studied all about it. If you want the prize of the high calling, you're going to have to be a soldier. A soldier, not just a member, but a soldier. The word soldier appears only in the prison epistles, and I believe it's in Timothy, not in Philippians. It's in Timothy.
Yeah.
You're a soldier, my friend.
Timothy too.
You're a soldier when you can coordinate a conference like this one. You're a soldier when you're fighting against the enemy. Blast after blast. You're a soldier when you put on a shield and protecting yourself from the fiery darts of the wicked one. And the fiery darts just come and just come right off because you're a soldier and you're a winning soldier and you get into the protection of the Lord 24 hours a day without... intermission. That's protection you get from God. And if you have a trial, like if somebody took my daughter and raped and killed her, if that happened, that would be a trial for me. A real trial. But the Lord will take you right out of it. And He'll lead you with a victory. Any one of us who have lost kids in an accident, or an OD. Is that an overdose?
Yeah.
Or suicide. I know that's happened to some of you here. It's happened to me too. But the Lord knows that my son is in the very presence of the Lord today. I'll see him again in our glorified bodies, and we'll say, you thought you were defeated, huh? Hey, we got the victory. And we still have the same protection we had back then. And you have the Spirit of the Lord, and the Lord is with us, and we can chat among members, probably, with the permission, of course, of the head, of Christ Jesus. And amen, we'll have such a wonderful time together, all of us. And we'll fly, and we'll go to Peru, we'll go to Hawaii, we'll go anywhere at the speed of thought. No pollution. And you know there's scientists, and you watch it on TV and NOVA, that they're still inspecting up there, you know, and all these satellites, wondering where the origin of the Earth is. That's funny. All they got to do is read Genesis and find out and believe it, and to save all that money for the poor.
That's right. Exactly right.
Isn't that great? Okay, we left off at Pleroma, and you know what Pleroma is. The real Pleroma, if you want to know about Pleroma, I don't know all about Pleroma, but what I do know, bless your heart, the word Pleroma is a patch. There's been a rent. There was a rent in Genesis 1-2, and then there's a patch, Pleroma, and the Lord is constantly filling every sin. The redemption plan, the plan of redemption, is there's a filling for that. There's a patch for that. There's a fullness there. There's a pleromatos there. Pleroma. Pleromatos is a filling there. You look at all the inflections of pleroma, and it appears there about 15 times in the text. Pleroma. Pleroma is just a stem. But you look at the rest of them in the Greek, and you find that it means more than just pleroma. It means there's a lot of filling going on. From the rent to every sin that ever occurred that the Lord died for is forgiven. And there's a patch in your life. There's a patch in my life. There's fullness in your life. There's completeness in your life. Isn't there, Helen? Yeah, there is. The fullness there. We all have maybe a sick parent in a nursing home or something that you love. You pray for him, the Lord has heard your prayer. He hears all our prayers. So pray for me, huh? And I'll pray for you too. And we pray for each other. And we encourage each other. We learn from each other. I know that the guys from South Carolina and down south, they always come up with a wonderful message, wonderful encouragement. I go home and say, hey, that was wonderful. That was terrific, Ronnie. And your dad, Bob, Mike, everybody. Beautiful, man. I love to hear the Word of God. Okay, Pleroma. And then there's the next one is Ro. Ritzo. Ritz. No, wait a minute. That is pronounced Ritzako, root of. Eritzo, menoi, to take root. Colossians 2:7. We already read that already. Now we'll go to Sigma. Sigma, the Sigma has two forms, forms, we'll call them that. Sigma has, in the middle of a word, it'll appear like an O with a little tail on it. And the sigma that looks like a sigma, like a real S, appears only at the end of a word. Follow? Is that clear?
Yep.
Okay, good. Like, let's say, Paulos. Or let's use teleos, the sample I got here. Let's go to teleos. Colossians 1-8, to present every man perfect. Right there. See the sigma on teleos? We're working on tau, but we're discussing the S, the sigma, that goes at the end of a word, and it looks like an S. So if you're writing the word teleos, you would write tau, epsilon, lambda, epsilon, iota.
How much
Omicron Sigma. And you would write them just the way it is there. S, the Sigma, like an S. Hope that's clear. Now we go to Upsilon. The word is, the sample word is huparko. Philippians 2:6 means subsisting in the form of God. Philippians 2:6. Somebody read that so we can make better sense out of that word. But it's still upsilon. Starts with upsilon, and it's got a breathing mark that gives the strong, like an H. That breathing mark inverted represents an H.
Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God.
Or subsisting in the form of God. I got there a tag. You asked me about those tags underneath each word in this AGMT. And that's what makes this AGMT a special book. Do you see that V-P-P-A-N-M-S there? The V tells you that that word is a verb for the V. And the P and the two P's there is a present tense. I have to look. Sorry. I wish I was that good, but I'm not. Do you have an inflection form there, hon? This won't take time to explain. Tell me what the first P is in the tense.
Present.
Present. Okay. Now, what about the passive. Next? Passive voice. That's a voice. And the A?
It's accusative.
Accusative.
Masculine.
Gender. And the S is for
simple.
Number. So over here you've got the part of speech. You've got the mode. You got the tense, mode, voice, case, gender, and number.
Can you point to the real late?
Does everybody know what he's talking about?
No.
Right. Oh, no? Okay.
Yeah, use the laser.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right after word God.
Yeah.
What he's, here it is. Okay,
yeah.
I got it. No.
Little bitty print there right after.
I almost pointed
it. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right there.
Let me show you this chart.
Don't hit that. Yeah.
Okay.
See that chart there?
Yeah, but we need the chart.
Yeah. Put the other one back.
Put the other one back, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just so they know what it looks like.
Okay, leave it there.
Yeah, right after the word
God.
God, right.
Okay, what letter?
You point at
what letter are you at?
Upsilon.
Upsilon, okay. Thank you. Right there.
All the way to the end. All the way to the end. Right there.
Okay, right there. See the V-P-P-A-N-M?
Right.
Okay. Now read. Now these are called categories.
Okay.
The V is for the verb. That's a part of speech. We're talking about the verb system there.
Now you go to the second page.
And the second P.
The second P is past.
You got it, Lloyd.
That's a tense.
Let me see that one.
Yeah.
Put the second transparency there now.
Hey, Kathy, put the second transparency up.
Okay, don't get it.
That's
too late to catch. You might hurt.
Oh, okay, yeah, sure.
Okay. I think you got to go a little bit to the right, at least from this end.
Can you make it bigger?
This one. It's too small. Okay. We know it's a verb because the verb is over there in the end. See it right over there?
Yes.
That's verb. There's the first P is a article. The second P is present tense. Okay, now, what was it?
Mode.
It's the upsilon. V-P-P-A. A is a accusative. Active, right there. Active voice, right there.
Oh, because it's a verb we're working
on. Yeah, we're working on the verb. That's a verb.
Right.
See? These are all the categories of the verb.
Right.
Now we're getting into something that for beginners is absolutely mind-boggling.
Uh-huh. Now it's the guts of it.
This is the guts of it.
Yeah, right.
This is the real science of it.
That's why.
But you know what? Let me tell you something. I want to tell you something. This looks so complicated. You know what?
It is.
You get into it, it's not complicated at all. Because pretty soon you'll be doing parsing effortlessly and lovingly. And you'll be knowing what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying from the very beginning. How many of you, when you read the Bible, say, in the beginning, God created heaven and the earth, or in the beginning was the Word, or in the beginning in Colossians, when the book of Colossians says, who is the beginning, after they say the name Jesus Christ. In the beginning in Genesis is Jesus Christ. In the beginning in John is Jesus Christ. In the beginning in Colossians is Jesus Christ. And how can I prove that? From the Word of God. You prove everything from the Word of God. Because the Word of God says in the book of Revelation, what did he say? I am the beginning. How clear can that get? How clear can that get? God said it himself. I am the beginning. I am also the end.
I was going to ask, how many have a copy of that book by Guy Woods, How to Read the Greek New Testament? Because in it, it gives you the alphabet, and it also explains what these different things are. Not quite as deep as this is, but it, you know, if you're like me, you start with what you know. I know singular and plural.
You know, and masculine and feminine.
I know which person, you know, I or we or you, you know, you can figure out something. And these others you can figure out too, but they explain them in a way that you can understand.
Yeah.
And then when you say these
things, Mike gave me a copy of it though.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe what.
You don't know,
like
what? I don't have any sales.
What's it called again?
It's How to Read the Greek New Testament by Guy Woods. Or we couldn't find it anywhere because Eddie bought it 30 years ago.
Oh, my.
So but Mike,
you can get a copy of it.
Maybe what I can do. And see, that's what we're working off of. And what's happening in here is people come in at different stages. That's what's, you know, I mean, it's like this is the Lord's College Greek class, and we're, you know, people are floating in at different times, so it's hard to have everybody assimilated into a oneness. But if you just give me your name in the parking lot, I'll put a sheet out tomorrow at the conference and just write your name and address in there, and I'll make a copy for you and send it. And that's what we're working off. And some of you don't know that, you know. And in here, this is my copy. In here, you know, it has the alphabet and the diphthongs that he those are two vowels put together, like A and I and E and I.
That's next. That's next.
How much will that cost?
How much?
$600. Don't be asking about money or gold.
Yeah. Do you have any gold? No. I'll just send it to you.
Hey, we want you to have it.
Yeah.
It'll cost you something.
Well, they cost what? $600.
So yeah. Well, I'll just. And plus,
you'd be surprised when he blows on that.
A copy of the Indiana conference, which I have made. I have to mark
a copy, so you get a deal.
Yeah,
how many
pages? By the time you have to
send
close to each other.
How many pages is that?
101.
Is this all of it?
Pages.
Yeah.
I thought it was
100
and something.
Oh, no, yeah. No? 100 pages.
Is it?
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
Well, they're divided though, Mike.
You get two pages.
Oh, you get two pages to a page, so it's like 50 pages. So you guys, you don't have it?
No, it's for now.
You got it?
See, he's not doing that.
Okay, are you going to...
Yes, it helps us remember.
Like that?
Okay, folks, we're going to get going here because we're wasting some time.
Can you give them a copy, Ron?
Yeah.
Can you give Tony a copy?
I'm even wondering why we can't scan that.
We can.
What?
Yeah, you can scan it.
Scan it and what?
And copy it.
Actually, I convert it to a PDF.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No, just convert it to Word, and everybody's got Word.
No.
Yeah.
Everybody?
I don't like that stuff.
Yeah, but they have it.
At all. I think it's a sham.
It's unbelievable.
If it's John or me, when somebody sends me an email.
Your copy or in Boscoville?
Why?
Like, you go or anything.
Oh, no.
Not on Sunday.
No, that's...
Not on Sunday.
No, we go down, if we have a big job, we go down to the pharmacist.
Actually, it's, down to the pharmacist.
Yeah. That's where our fax machine is.
Copy, which is pretty
so we go to Dubuque, 55 miles away.
That's
the expensive. Yeah, I mean,
Ed took control.
Oh, sorry, man.
I lost complete control. Okay, let's go to the next letter, which is going to be... hey, that's the wrong... Yeah. Go to page 9. Go to page 9, Kathy. Right, Mike?
Yep.
What?
Go to page 9.
Page.
Go to page 9, Kathy.
Okay.
It's a thankless job.
We are going to the following word, and I know you're all familiar with the next word. We just got done with upsilon. We're going to phi. And the word is aphantos. It means vanish, to make invisible in Luke 24:31. You heard about it tonight in the two men from Emmaus scripture, when he opened up the scripture, and then he vanished out of sight. Can anybody say phantos?
Phantos.
Aphantos, yeah. Beautiful word, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Vanish. The next one is key. The way you really pronounce it is key. But you can go like C-H, Christ. And it's karitao, which means grace. It means accepted, made objects of his grace. Okay, you are made objects of his grace only in the book of Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, and Philemon, because those are the books of the gospel, of the present gospel. Isn't that good? Karitao, that's accepted. Ekaritosen is made. Can you see? Okay, I've got a pointer here. There's the stem. Here is the stem again. Here's a termination there. And there is an e, which makes it made objects of his grace. Over here is just accepted. See? Cool, huh? That is cool.
Yeah, cool.
Awesome. Awesome, yeah. Now, the next one is kind of a difficult letter to pronounce. It's like when you're whispering, and it's a psi. Colossians 3:16. It's like psalms and hymns, or suki, which means soul. 3:16 of Colossians. Somebody, anybody. 3:16. Anybody.
Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord.
Thank you. Very good. Can you see in that word there almost the word psalm? Mm-hmm. Psalmoi?
Yeah.
Psalmois. Psalms, hymns. Well, that's the real word that goes in the text.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They're good. Mm-hmm. The next one is omega. and Christ is also the Omega. Revelation 1:8, 21:6, 22:13, I mentioned those a while ago. Christ the Almighty, God Himself, Jesus Christ is God Himself. He revealed Himself as God Himself in Colossians 2:9, and please go there, somebody, and read it out loud. It is good. Agathos. Go.
For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily.
Amen. That you can read a little better than that in the Greek. If when you say, for in Him dwelleth all the fullness of God in body form. That was God in body form, folks. God Himself. God Almighty Himself. Jesus, the Christ of God. Amen. Now, we're going to go down to the next word, which is aphtharsia. Ephesians 6:24. Ephesians, another pearl for you folks. 6:24. Aphtharsia. Somebody read it. It's the last verse in Ephesians chapter 6. Both of you, it's all right. As long as you do it in unison.
Be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity.
In sincerity. Amen. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. To repeat what I said a while ago, the will of God is a loving desire for His purpose without anybody's counsel. His will is for grace to be with all of them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. And that word sincerity means, it's the Greek word aphtharsia. If you go back there, back up a little bit. Oh, I got the pointer here. Back up just a little bit. Aphtharsia, there's the word right there, in sincerity. 6:24, it's also in Titus 2:7. And it means really, it doesn't mean sincerity, it means incorruptibility. Means purity and is also sincerity. But it ties in with incorruptibility and purity.
And the only way you would have that is by a grace.
Amen. In this dispensation. That is this administration's language. Look at it. It's in the scripture. Ephesians 6:24 and Titus 2:7. Beautiful. Don't read Titus 2:7. You'll love it. See. Titus 2:7. I'll read this one. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity. There's the word. You're trying what the Lord said, what He commanded. Check Scripture with Scripture to see if it's correct and to see if it follows the context. The context above all, by checking Scripture with Scripture, is what really governs. And I know that's the way you study all your teachers. I know that. Because I know you check Scripture with Scripture. And that's God's command. And you're following God's command because I know you're loving Him back. Just like it says here, grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in incorruptness, in purity, and sincerity.
It seems like, Ed, that the King James there have given us uncorruptness in one word and then give us sincerity in the other. Can you tell me, do you know what the difference is between those two?
Well, if you go to the Greek word, what are the scripture?
That's the one you just read.
And that is 2:7.
Oh, okay. It's the same word.
So King James just translated the same word two different ways.
You see a lot of that in the English. But in the text, it's the same word, aphtharsia. Same word.
They got gravity too.
Yeah. Right, it's the same word. And if you really want to know go to, but see what Bullinger
said. Well, the text so called is sincerity in Titus, according to Bullinger.
Mm-hmm.
Yet they don't have sincerity in there. But none of the texts, according to Bullinger, have sincerity in
there. Is omitted?
Yeah, it's omitted.
Okay, then he's right, because
the text is omitted, so that's really only just supposed to be there once.
So he's right, because he is using, are you using the figures of speech there?
No, I'm using Bullinger's note.
Oh, Bullinger's note. Does he refer you to a figure? Is he referring you to a figure there?
No, he just says sincerity omitted in texts.
Okay, well, it's omitted in texts.
The interlinear gives three words, one for uncorruptness, one for gravity, and one for incorruption.
Okay, well, you can't go by the interlinear. You have to go by what Bullinger has made a study, and use the figure and the context for perfect interpretation and satisfaction, so that you will be convinced, you will be thoroughly meet for the master's use by finding it. You can use the analytical, see what they say. We can take the time, and I can run it through what is called a TDNT. The TDNT is a theological dictionary of the New Testament. That's got a world of information on there, and a lot of it I throw away because it's not right division or dispensation of the ministry or in this administration. But and soon you'll learn, we will learn together. So do a study, make a note of it, do a study of that word with the system that the Lord given us. The Lord has given us wonderful helps. He's given us the love to study His word, number one. And He's given us the time. It's a pleasure to take the time and come and share His wonderful word. Now, if you're not too tired, we'll go another page, and we'll go into the vowels real quick. Okay? Okay, the vowels in the Greek, in the Koine Greek, are alpha, epsilon, omicron, iota, upsilon. And those are the short. And the long are the alpha, iota, upsilon, eta, and omega. Omicron is the short. Omega is the long of that omicron. And epsilon is the short. Eta is the long of it. And that's I'm just reading my copy here, and you've seen it. You can read it up there. The diphthong, I call it courageous, because it is courageous. The Word of God is alive, and full of comfort and courage, and it's great. The Word of God is, and this is all part of it. Everything, the diphthongs and the breathing marks, and all of those are part of the text. We'll go to the diphthongs, courageous. I, A, Oi, A, U, U, and, U and U. U and U. And we, like in queen. You see the numbers there on the bottom there?
Yeah.
The number one is AI as in aisle. Okay, all of us. Number two, eight. Let's see. One is aisle. Eight. EI. You say the diphthong.
Eight.
Oil.
Oil.
Cow.
Cow.
Few. Food. And queen. There you go. You catch on fast. What a terrific, terrific student body. Church of the One Body. That's nice. That's so nice. Okay, vocabulary figures of speech. This is just a comment on one of the words from Bollinger's Lexicon, and that's where I learned it. And the Lord opened it up to me. Hupotupesin. Tupos is the stem. Hupotupesin is in 2 Timothy 1:13 and 1 Timothy 1:16. Bollinger's Lexicon. Barry's interlinear representation in words, a delineation of a word character, for you to have a delineation of sound words, and by sound words is also meant have wholesome words. These wholesome words and sound words are words of incorruption with gravity and purity, as opposed to corrupt communication. Corrupt communication is another word. I'm not even going to go into it because this is not the time. It's terrible the way the Lord defines corrupt communication. You do a study on corrupt communication, you'll find out how terrible it really is. I'd rather not even discuss it because it's language of the old man, put it that way. And every member of the Church of the One Body, unfortunately, is not thoroughly complete as up to date. And we're not. We are perfect and complete by the principle of logisomai, which means reckon or count. But as of today, right now, you are still able to say some of those words that are corrupt. And that's why the Lord said, mortify the flesh. In the theme of this conference, that will come up, I'm sure, because it's in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. And then a religious person, like let's say a Baptist, because I used to belong to the Baptist church. I used to be a Catholic. And we were all goody-goody. We couldn't say bad words. But the Lord tells you that to mortify the flesh. And Welch, mortify the flesh, it is to kill the flesh, because you died in your life to save the Christ and God, he says. And God said that. And he uses the word necro, death. Welch calls it corpse-like. I go one better than that. Dust and ashes-like. Mortify the flesh. Those words are there. Just don't let them go. I tell you that from experience. I don't like to use them. I don't want to use them. I hate bad thoughts. And I pray to the Lord to give me his peace of God and help me to rule. Help me to let him rule. Let the peace of God rule. Umpire. Be your umpire, your comforter, your arbitrator, your protector, your comfort. All that be to me so that I will not have occasion to use corrupt communication and to help me mortify the flesh. Dust and ashes that I am. Amen. I think we're all getting tired. We're going to... is everybody ready to go home? I think we're all looking tired. Even Mike.
No. I just look that way.
Well, don't be like Eutychus. You know what happened to Eutychus?
No.
Yes. What happened to Eutychus? What happened? And what happened, Esther? Huh? Oh, that was you?
Hey,
that's usually interesting. Did that really happen?
What?
It's in the Bible, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Is it in Acts?
If it is, you convinced me.
Where is it?
It's in the book of Acts. And Eutychus actually was raised from the dead by Paul. Not Paul. Not Paul. Who raised him?
Peter?
God used Paul to raise him, right, Ron?
Amen.
And Eutychus, he fell from aloft, he was falling asleep. And I used to have a friend from Mexico. He was such a good guy. He was a wonderful Christian. He died now. And he said, brother, wasn't Eutychus. He was very fortunate because he fell asleep. Mm-hmm. Pablo, he says, did you go raise him from the dead? Oh, wow, we were charismatic at that time. And we were healing the sick and casting out demons.
Yeah,
it was a lot of fun, but it was a lot of waste of time. But the Lord, I guess, had other plans for me. And I'm going to ask Ronnie to close us off.
Bow with me. Father, we thank you for this day, and God, for what we've heard. Father, we're thankful for this word and for the truth of it. Father, for the fact that in Him we are complete. Father, we're thankful for each and every one that's here. Father, for those who have come a great distance, and Father, for those who are nearby, we give you thanks for all and in all. And God, as we go through the rest of the conference, we ask that you would continue to bless us with your presence. Father, help us fill your spirit. Father, help us to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ through this conference. For it's in His name tonight that we do pray.
Amen.
Amen. Do you want to give Ed a hand?
Yeah.
I'll give you a hand too. You want to throw money?
Yeah, gold.
Hey, we don't pass a hat around.